In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. Two young lovers at the conclusion of their first date were standing under the light at the porch of the young woman's home. The young man timidly asked, "Can I kiss you?" The young woman smiles quietly but says nothing. After a few moments, the young man tries again, this time saying, "May I kiss you?" Again, the young woman smiles but says nothing. Feeling a little impatient here, this fellow cries out, "Are you deaf?" To which the young woman responded, "Are you paralyzed?" This is what I think of the disciples and the church on the day of Pentecost. On Pentecost, they became unparalyzed. They became empowered to carry out its very purpose, which is to proclaim the good news of God in Christ. Infused by the Holy Spirit, the disciples who were timid, afraid, and never wanting to be seen in public, suddenly on the center stage, at their own amazement as well as the amazement of all those who visited that day in Rome. Well, it is Pentecost. What else do you expect? Today we celebrate Pentecost. It is the birthday of the church. We read in the Acts of the Apostles how it all began some 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. On that same day of the Jewish Passover, the Jewish Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were all together in one place. Remember, in one place, they were together. Our reading is pretty graphic in its description of what happened on that day. Sounds of rushing violent wind, divided tongues of fire, and they're resting on each of them. Just imagine them walking around with fire on their head. Filled with the Holy Spirit, they were all speaking in languages other than their own, but in the languages of the visitors who showed up in Jerusalem on that day. Today we heard 6 different languages. And that day they heard so many different languages. People who came from different parts of the world, the known world, they heard it, the word of God spoken in their own language. They were dumbfounded by this rather surreal experience. They were amazed and astonished. Now, this is all good, Pentecost, on that day 2,000 years ago. But what does this mean for us? What is the significance of Pentecost for the Christian church, particularly for us, St. Peter's, in Phoenixville, in our country, and in the world today? For our reflection, let us just focus on one aspect of it. In our reading from the book of Acts, we encountered some difficult to pronounce and unfamiliar places, didn't we? Didn't Reda do a beautiful job in reading all those names? Have you ever wondered why Luke, the author of the book of Acts, took the pain of writing all those names? He could have just said, from all those places, you know, without really naming each one. In writing them down, he was making a point. This movement Jesus started in Galilee is now becoming a multicultural, multilingual, multiracial, multigenerational, and diverse global movement. This is a global movement. It is not just for little people, just for few people in Jerusalem, for the Jewish people. It is a global entity. On the first day, the Pentecost, what they call the IPO, initial, a public offer. Even on that day, it became global. The first Pentecost was a pivotal event for the disciples and the Jesus movement. It is no longer a homogeneous, monocultural, and self-same entity. It became a global entity. Who are these Parthians and Medes and Elamites today? Well, you would be surprised to know who they are. Well, friends, they are today's Iranians, Iraqis, Syrians, and people from the Middle East and the Mediterranean regions. Today, for some in this great country of ours, pluralism can be an annoying thing. But for God, it is the cornerstone of universal reign. There is now in our country an increasing intolerance towards the other, and outright hostility towards those whose way of life is different from that of ours. Every time we experience a downturn in our economy, we find scapegoats in immigrants, especially the poor ones who came from below our southern border. The world is appalled by the huge following of a businessman turned politician whose vile and vulgar and vitriolic pronouncements help him to become the presumptive nominee of the party of Abraham Lincoln for this coming general election. Hospitality to strangers and mutuality of recognition of the other is intrinsic to Pentecost paradigm. An inclusive love for the other is at the heart of biblical faith. It is worth to heed the suggestion of Plato made so long ago that the measure of a civilization is the manner in which it treats the strangers and those who are different. Luke, in painstakingly naming all these different groups, affirmed all cultures, all languages, but at the same time avoided making any one of them as the norm. What happened on that first Pentecost was inclusive of all. Holy Spirit in tongues of fire rested on each of them, and all were filled with the Holy Spirit. See how our reading is started. They were all together in one place. A far cry from how we come to worship today. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "It is appalling that the most segregated hour of Christian America is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning." Unlike on that first Pentecost Sunday, today we meet all across our great land of United States in white churches, black churches, Indian churches, Chinese and Korean, in different places. We are not together. This is not how Kingdom of God is going to be like. What the Holy Spirit advocates for us is not a homogenized, safe, and secure uniformity, but a differentiated and costly unity of all people, Jews and Arabs, and people from many nations. Holy Spirit is looking for richness in our diversity, not just in color, race, ethnicity, gender preferences, but also in economic diversity. So our reading says the slaves and the slave owners. The political diversity of liberals and conservatives, red America and blue America, and yes, Fox News viewers and MSNBC viewers, all of them are together in God's kingdom. Imagine that. Gospel is for all peoples. It is heard in the interwovenness, in the intermingling of the plurality of the people and cultures. That is what makes Christianity a great religion. Today, our brand of religion needs a Pentecost experience, a fresh infusion of the Holy Spirit, so that it can be public and more accepting of people regardless of race and religion, creed, ethnicity, gender, and sexual orientation. Jim Wallace says, God is personal but never private. And Bible reveals a very public God, but in an age of private spirituality, the voice of God, a public God, can scarcely be heard. Private religion avoids public consequences of faith. Unlike the day of Pentecost, today religion serves more to silence the politics of God than to announce it to the nations. Today, Anglican Communion, the one that we are part of, seeking purity of doctrine of what they think is the will of God, shuts out the Episcopal Church for its embracing of LGBTQ community. But Pentecost calls all people out from isolation and our quest for exclusive identity. Secondly, we need to reevaluate our understanding of mission in the light of the message of Pentecost. Jesus told his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Understood in the light of Pentecost, the church is the outpost of God's mission in the world, rather than a shrine where God is safely ensconed, protected, and worshipped. Mission in a church is not just one more thing to do among many others. Mission is the most central thing to the church. Christian church needs to move from being a church-shaped mission to a mission-shaped church. The success of the early church can be attributed to its understanding of its sentness. Every Sunday, when we leave the church, Deacon Joe and Deacon Dennis would go out into the world, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the sentness. We are all sent people out in the world. Emil Brunner, the Swiss theologian, said, "Church exists by mission as fire exists by burning." At St. Peter's, we understand the meaning of sentness. When our people are engaged in mission activities in our own neighborhood and abroad. This summer, it will be the 9th year we will be sending out members of our church to El Salvador. Friends, what is the problem or mission that we want to be defined by? What is our challenge? What mission is God calling us to partner with? Can we eschew our society's obsession to find self-fulfillment in isolation and exclusivism? Instead, can we find fulfillment in serving the poor, in protecting the vulnerable, in providing a place of refuge to those who are seeking asylum, in standing up to the thugs who traffic human beings against their own will for profit? Can we stand up to politicians who exploit the issue of immigration for their own political benefit? Do we continue to discern our call to feeding and serving people in our neighborhood through our pantry? Do we continue to discern a call to walking in solidarity with people of El Salvador in their struggle for basic human rights, justice, and peace? Or are we weary, feeling weary about doing good? Are we mission fatigued? I hope not. Friends, today we are the people of Jesus' movement. Just as the first Pentecost was the pivotal point for the church, today we are at a pivotal point. The world needs us. Our world needs the people of Jesus' movement more than ever before, with a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I believe we are more than ever ready to partner with God in His mission in the world.